This is The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio. I'm Dave Fallon, along with Providence Business News editor Mark Murphy. Hello, Mark.
Hey there, Dave.
Also joining us, Rhode Island Public Radio political commentator Scott McKay. Good to see you, Scott.
Great to be here, Dave.
Well, I guess we'll start with the subject everyone's been talking about across Rhode Island, and that's the tourism marketing plan that came out of the Raimondo administration earlier this week. And let's get a reaction from Mark, first of all.
Well, I think the issue of whether the program is going to work can't be solved, either on Twitter or on radio or, you know, and it won't be solved, and we won't know for months, if not years, whether it's really been effective. The real issue for me was the quality of the rollout. You know, how did it come together? Was it really vetted both internally and externally as much as possibly could have been? I know that Betsy Wallace said they did a lot of testing of it. She's the marketing director, for the state on this matter. But there were some problems with it. And so the question is, why didn't they just spend a little bit more time, you know, even just another week sitting back saying, let's take a look at this, all of the pieces of this program, and make sure that they're exactly the way we want to be.
Why the need to get it out this week?
You're asking the wrong guy. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think they wanted to get it out as soon as they could because you want to take advantage of people's planning for tourism, for economic development. I mean, it's now April, and people are making plans for their summer if they haven't already made them.
Scott, let's get your reaction.
Well, I think Mark's right. The big problem here was the rollout, and it just was done less than competently, and I think we all have to acknowledge that, and I wish the governor or Commerce Secretary Pryor or somebody would take ownership of this problem and not just hang Betsy Wall, who's relatively new in the state, the marketing director, you know, out to dry. I think that the administration really, really should have done a much better job vetting this. They could have had a local PR firm take a look at it, someone like Duffy and Shanley, or we have plenty of good people here who could have done a look over at the website. I think the website's the biggest disaster. There's no mention, for instance, of any colleges in Rhode Island or our great local theater or music culture and the restaurant stuff, you know, Dead Man Cooking with George German from Al Forno. That's just not good PR. It just wasn't done competently.
I noticed that in the reporting of this in general, there were some internal questions by staffers about certain things on the website that were never really answered before it got rolled out.
That's the big problem. In fact, a very prominent member of the Convention and Visitors Bureau who spoke to Rhode Island Public Radio only on the terms of anonymity sent a letter to the Pryor's chief of staff in September warning him about this website, saying that, frankly, if it wasn't done right, the results would be, frankly, scary, is the exact quote.
And, Mark, a couple of members of the Commerce Corporation have different feelings about this.
Well, we talked to Carl Waddenston. Carl is very outspoken. He's the head of Vibeco Vibrators. He's also one of the great proponents of lean manufacturing. And he said he just did not like it. He said, whatever it is. But if it were him, he'd toss it and start over again. And to a certain degree, you know, if you're in business, and especially, and this is even more interesting, you know, if you're, say, a venture capitalist, which Governor Raimondo was, you know, once you've determined that something isn't working, you just walk away from it. Now, and this gets back to the issue, though, is how do we know whether it's working or not, you know, the program, and that won't come for a while. But another member of the board said he really liked it, and he thought it was, you know, provocative and interesting and going to work quite well.
You're listening to The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio. Our guests are Mark Murphy of Providence Business News and Rhode Island Public Radio Scott McKay. Let's move on. The Rhode Island jobless rate seems to be stuck at 5.4% January to February. What do you folks see in that?
Well, you know, I don't want to jump on this. Jobless rates go up. It's like watching the polls, you know, during a political campaign. I think what's more demoralizing for people in Rhode Island is the lack of job growth. And I think
But there was job growth.
Very small. If you look
7,400 jobs and in a base that's, you know, about less than half a million, that's a significant growth. It's not huge, but it's significant.
It's not nearly as well as Massachusetts is doing if you look at the last month or
sure,
two.
Sure. But Rhode Island's economy is not Massachusetts' economy. That's for sure.
I understand that. But I do think that, you know, we have not recovered. I think we may be the only state in New England. I think Connecticut might be in this metric also.
Right.
We haven't recovered the jobs we lost during the Great Recession. And that's a problem for the state still.
You know, I think that a lot of people don't see the way that I think I see it, what's happening and what's happened in Rhode Island in a broader historical context. You know, in a capitalist society, industries come and go, and they, you know, they wax and they wane. And so what we've had here is the jewelry industry, the textile industry, they are gone. You know, the idea that these jobs are going to come back in any significant way, it's not going to happen. And the issue is, in this country at least, we really don't do a good job of ameliorating the effects of these kinds of things. I mean, I saw it. I worked for 20 years in Pittsburgh when the steel industry collapsed. Mm-hmm. And those people, many of them, never returned to the workforce.
Right.
They were done. And so I think here, people aren't quite recognizing that for what it is, which is this really a standard upheaval in our kind of free market society.
With the Massachusetts comparison, though, isn't it more accurate to compare with Greater Boston?
Yes.
Because outside of Greater Boston, you've got southeastern Mass, which isn't in the greatest shape. You
That's
have
right.
the old mill cities north and west of Boston.
Yeah, Lowell, Haverhill, Lawrence,
Springfield,
Worcester, Springfield, Holyoke. They're not doing that great either. I will admit that. However, one distressing look at Rhode Island is if you look at the public school test results, they're actually better if you compare apples to apples, say Fall River, to Pawtucket. Their school testing results are a lot better than Rhode Island's. And why should East Providence and Seekonk, why should there be such a big difference in the scores there? So the state clearly has some work to do. Now, I do have to agree with Mark that, look, you know, this has been going on since the spinning Jenny put the Weavers of Manchester out of work. And that this is a historical thing of the creative destruction of capitalism. Our problem is we haven't found a real niche. We haven't found industries that are replacing what Mark just mentioned in jewelry and textiles.
In some cases, you know, it takes a long time for
yes,
that to happen.
It does.
If I, for instance, we'll go back to Pittsburgh because I know it, everyone looks at it now as a shining example of you know, reinventing yourself. Well, you know, it took a long time for that to happen. And the people who are now working in the robotics industry, who are working in the gas fracking business, those are not the people who used to be steel workers.
Let's take a look at Cambridge, Kendall Square. 30 years ago, Kendall Square was a rundown, almost a ghetto.
Talking about a comeback, the Nabsys Life Sciences Technology Company is back, Mark.
Yeah, well, you know, they raised about $50 million for this, you know, this breakthrough technology to understand the genome using actually chips to read it in a very fast way. They brought in an outside CEO to try to commercialize the prospect. And actually, they hit a dead end. And so they literally ran out of money without actually having, I think, generated enough revenue. And so what's happened is the founder, Dr. Barrett Brady, came back and said, I think we can make a go of this going on the initial idea. So they're now employing 12 people. They're back in business. I don't know that they're fully capitalized, but it's a good story.
Let's end this on a positive tourism note. Bristol getting some good press recently.
Well, Expedia.com says that Bristol is one of the 18 most interesting small towns or cities in the U.S. to visit.
And that's why I live there.
Right.
Okay, that's about all the time we have for this round of The Bottom Line. Thanks to Providence Business News editor Mark Murphy.
Great to be here as always, Dave.
And thanks to Rhode Island Public Radio's Scott McKay.
Thank you, Dave.
This is Rhode Island Public Radio.
Major funding for The Bottom Line is provided by the Rhode Island Foundation, using philanthropy to move Rhode Island forward. Details at rhodeislandfoundation.org.